Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. I'm Jared Blickery. Quick check of the markets here. Markets are clawing back some of those early losses, although the Dow is still down about 43 points. As you see on your screen there, S&P 500 in the green, up 0.25%, and the NASDAQ leading the way higher, up 0.5%. I should also say tech is the leading sector. Well, we want to talk more about the market, and for that, we're going to bring in Garrett Nelson, Natixis Investment Manager Solutions Portfolio Strategist, also Akiko joining us for the second hour of our afternoon programming here. So Garrett, I want to just get your reaction. We've had a couple days of sell-offs here, and investors want to know how far, how low should we expect things to go, potentially?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. And honestly, in a year where the biggest drawdown has been about just over 4%, it's pretty interesting to see just how rapidly sentiment has shifted over the last couple of days. You know, there's a lot of cross current, I feel like, going on currently. Obviously, Fed minutes coming out yesterday and some perceiving that as slightly more hawkish. We differ a little bit. You know, they're still very, very dovish. Maybe they're slightly less dovish, but that's almost semantics at this point. Taper is very well, documented and well known. We know it's coming. It's just a matter of timing. It really shouldn't surprise many investors out there. Honestly, it feels like somewhat of a factor that's really taking the lead right now is just simply more liquidity. You certainly have some cross currents in terms of those peak growth fears still persisting. We still continue to deal with some negative headlines around the virus, variants certainly in China and weighing on supply chains. And more importantly, I think recently we've also seen somewhat on the regulatory front out of China also weighing a bit on markets. So it's kind of a confluence of different factors that seem to be weighing in a time of light liquidity, which is somewhat exacerbating some of these moves. But longer term, I don't think it really materially changes our outlook, which is still fairly optimistic into the back half of the year and into next.
Garrett, specifically on the Fed timeline, I mean, you could argue whether the minutes were hawkish or dovish, but what's your baseline on when you're expecting to see the Fed scale back on its asset buying? In the larger question here from an investment standpoint, what does that mean for your portfolio?
Yeah, so to be frank, you know, I don't think that taper really matters in terms of the marketplace. You know, certainly the first time around with this in 2013, it shook the markets. And I know a lot of market participants were pointing to perhaps, you know, taper tantrum 2.0. I think we're very comfortable with what this process looks like this time around. And so the actual impact to liquidity is very marginal. There's still very, very easy financial conditions. And I don't think tapering really meaningfully changes that. So honestly, it really only matters to the extent that some market participants think it matters, which I'd say is probably a lot less than this time around than in 2013. In terms of timeline, you know, I know Jackson Hole next week was certainly a target for when we might hear some actual firm language around taper. I'm not really expecting much out of Jackson Hole, and I think the market narrative has shifted a little bit away from that. We're more in the camp that we probably start to hear something around the November meeting. Perhaps they're as quick as December to start actually implementing those the taper, but I'm still more in the camp that January is probably when we begin to see a slow taper, probably in the ballpark of about $15 billion per month.
Garrett, I want to get your reaction to some of the moves that we've seen in the currency market, specifically the U.S. dollar strengthening here. If you take a look at the Dixie, maybe not the best representation, but it's hitting levels, the highest levels of the year here. And I guess that makes sense. If the Federal Reserve is going to be raising interest rates, you'd see money coming into the U.S. dollar in order to take advantage of those. But how high can you see the U.S. dollar going, and what implications does this have for other markets, emerging markets, multinationals here in the U.S., et cetera?
Yeah, good question. I think there's a lot of cross currents again that are really factoring into the currency markets this year. Obviously, if we go back to the beginning of this year, kind of the consensus trade was for a weaker dollar. We saw exactly the opposite of that in the first quarter, and then we reversed. So it's really been essentially this giant range trade through the majority of this year. It feels a little like with some of these Delta concerns coming back into the marketplace, that a little bit of the driver is more that idea of U.S. exceptionalism, right? So we know that the U.S. is probably set to see some of the more robust growth figures as we move forward into the next year. And there were certainly hopes that global growth would pick up. And those are kind of conflicting forces. Exceptionalism kind of driving a bit into the dollar and global growth kind of driving a bit out of the dollar and weakening a bit. And so we've almost played a somewhat of a tug of war for the majority of the year. And it certainly looks like the dollar's starting to break out to the upside again here. Honestly, I could see a little bit further strength in the dollar to move forward and still kind of try to shake off some of these fears. But I don't expect a significant amount of downside to the dollar either. So, you know, somewhat of a cop-out answer, but it feels like the right environment is somewhat of a range-bound trade for the dollar moving forward as we really start to or continue to see a tug of war between those two factors that, you know, global growth and risk cycle are certainly weighing on the dollar. But a very robust growth outlook in the U.S. is certainly pressuring the dollar higher here. And I really don't see those pressures leaving it anytime soon. Translating that back to the FX front for EMs, I think they're going to continue to struggle with some of their own issues on the Delta front and on COVID front. And that's going to continue to weigh on growth expectations moving forward. So again, you know, I don't think it really makes a strong case for a significantly weaker dollar and a significantly stronger dollar that weighs materially on some of these EMs. It's really going to come back to the virus, I think, for some of these EM countries and currencies. And as they continue to work past that, that's where I expect to start to see a little bit of a strength potentially into next year.
Well, Garrett, to your comment about the trading range of the U.S. dollar, especially the Dixie, which I've been looking at here on the Wi-Fi Interactive, it has indeed been in a trading range for 6 years now. So not going to fault you there. Garrett Melson, the Texas Investment Managers Solutions Portfolio Strategist. Thanks for stopping by.